morning. Welcome to the morning show on WRC Radio. I'm Ron Froot. Today, our guest is Mary Buford. That is her author's name, her pen name. And you'll recall the voice of Tammy Kilby, who grew up here and worked at WRC Radio for a number of years. And then more recently has turned her attention to writing. And gosh, you're going to need to bring a whole shelf with you if you continue to write as you have been. Good morning and welcome.
Well, good morning, Ron. And thank you for having me. And I do. I look forward to filling that shelf. I don't know about the whole bookshelf itself, but perhaps a little bitty shelf on the wall would be nice, yes.
If someone would have said to me, what will Tammy do after she leaves radio? I'm not sure I would have picked that you would have been an author. I'm not sure what I would have said, but you've really found something in your writing, haven't you?
I have. And I have to agree, writing at first, I mean, it's always been a little, there's always been there in the back of my mind, but as you know, I'm very outgoing, outspoken. I'm, you know, very community-wise. And sitting in a little corner typing a story just doesn't seem like who I was and who I am, but it really is. It's like it sings from within. And so out it comes, and this is the books that are published are as that result. So,
is it easier now to talk about a newer book and to write a newer book than it was to do your very first book?
Oh, yes. I have learned so much. The first one I go back and look at, even reading it now, and I kind of have this little cringe like, wow, I was really new. I really didn't know as much as I do now. But as you know, with any craft, the more you do it, the better you get. You become skilled. And I can't say I'm the most skilled. I can't say I'm the best writer. And I will never probably credit myself as such. But it really becomes a lot easier. You begin to kind of know the system. You begin to kind of really get your character line. As I'm looking forth to my fifth book coming next year, kind of looking at different thoughts of that, names, situations, places, people, characters that I know even in my real life, they kind of blend into characters in my stories. So
would you go back if you were going to redo the first book? Would it be entirely different?
The story, no. The story was there. That has sat for a few years in my mind, and I thought, oh, this is kind of a neat little story. Would I do it different? Maybe years down the road, I'll rewrite it and give it that extra oomph and that more of the detail. I leave a few things to the imagination, which I let the reader fill in as they wish. But I certainly would change. For one thing, the font is much smaller in scroll, and it's very pretty. But to read it after a while, it gets to be, you know, I'm going to set this one aside. Compared to now, I have more of an open font when you read. And we know, even just looking at a note card of something, you want it so that you're able to see it, so you stay with it longer.
Well, your newest book is Broken Wing Peacock.
Yes.
We've not had a chance to talk about Broken Wing Locust, but Broken Wing is a theme to all of your books. What is that theme and why is that important? Why did you choose it, Tammy?
Well, the first one, of course, was a phrase and went with it. And in fact, the publisher had spoke against it and said, well, this, people aren't going to understand what it's about. I don't think that you want to go that route. And I said, well, it's really the phrase, and it really pertained to a broken wing sparrow being that person who feels broken down, having been abused, which is, there's abuse in the story, but it's, you know, obviously not by the main character. And I said, that's something that's between a friend of mine, and I really want to keep that theme. So any time that you're looking at even radio, you're looking at TV, you're looking at entertainment of any kind, the very best thing you can do for yourself is have a catchphrase. And Broken Wing seems to be that catchphrase. So when I went to the second book, I didn't purposely look for Broken Wing, but then I was thinking, you know, I like the way that feels for me. So I have credited myself and now own the rights to the Broken Wing series. So I continued on with the Broken Wing series and have done so with both Locust, which was last year's release, and Peacock, which is this year's release. And I have some new changes, but there's some different things that I've done, and I've I've learned along the way, but the catchphrase is working for me as for right now. I will not continue with the series for the rest of my life. I have other plans to do other things in my writing and in other things, but this is for now working, and it kind of ties me in together, and it makes it easy to kind of stake my claim, so to speak, on my own series.
Broken Wing Sparrow, that fit the story.
Yes.
Does Broken Wing, is there some sort more than just being an identifier? Does it some way relate to the most recent story or the most recent book you've released in Peacock?
It does. Each story, it relates differently. In the second one, we can go back to that, that had to do with actually a physical object with a broken wing. So that, when I was describing it, that came out and I thought, hey, there, that fit. And that, so that's where that continued on. As for Peacock, that had to do with a road. There's a vintage Peacock road that there's, and I'm actually naming that something totally different in this latest one. I'm actually naming places for what they are. Last year's was Locust. That had to do with the farming community of Richland Center. Richland Center isn't named. I believe I want to kind of preserve it and kind of keep Richland Center to myself. So here's a fake name of a fake place, but it's Richland Center. So I want people to be able to relate to those things. And the broken wing does relate differently in each story. And now as I'm writing book five, I'm thinking, how can I relate this to the next story that's different from 1, 2, 3, and 4 to keep it interesting? And so when people read it, I want that to be like the little thing in the back of their mind when they read it. How is this relatable? Where am I going to find this? It's something in the story.
Well, you will be the special guest at an author's reception coming up tonight at the Spring Green Community Library. That will begin at 6 o'clock. What will you be doing at the reception tonight, Tammy?
Well, tonight I am going to read from my latest, Broken Wing Peacock. I have I'm not going to go into any lengthy read. I just want to give the audience enough so they kind of hang on to the story and go, oh, that, I get it. I'm interested or I'm not interested. I have meets and greets, obviously. I am signing books. I am doing autographs and things. Pictures, of course, with people if they wish. And I am selling all four books. I have plenty to go around. So I hope that we fill the room. I know that we have a reception, as it says. We have some bottles of water, some snacks, just a common... Everybody get together. Let's talk about books. And give me some ideas, because I have next one kind of picked out, but then I don't have, you know, maybe a few more down the road. If people have ideas, by all means. And I'm always interested in hearing people's stories, because the characters that I meet in real life usually end up somewhere in the book.
Mary Buford is our guest this morning, and I always have to think twice because I say Tammy, because
right.
You know, yeah, or you were an employee here at WRCO Radio for years. But I remember the Broken Wing Sparrow gave you a chance to write about your faith. Does that continue to be a theme as you continue your series with Broken Wing, Tammy?
It does. In fact, the same character, and he's not a main character anymore. He's now kind of off to the wayside. Father Lance Thomas is the common character in all of these books.
Which is a fictitious name as well.
Completely fictitious, yes. In fact, I named him after my friend who I had discussed writing in the first place. Her two sons are named Lance and Thomas.
Oh, cool.
So I named Lance and Thomas, and she was like... So I knew it was okay with her. And it flows well.
It does.
It's very relatable names, nothing difficult. There's nothing worse than reading a book and trying to figure out how to say the character's name. You see how to spell it, saying it's a different thing. So he was, of course, the main character in the first one. And then I look at, he's a priest, so I look at his life as a priest and what does he do? What do priests do? They get moved from parish to parish. He doesn't stay in one place. That's really their life. They do everything from marriages, baptisms, funerals. You know, we were just discussing that. You know, all these different things that they have to do, counseling. They do so much, and they don't get the credit for that. I want to give the positive of what they do. Sometimes we don't hear the positive, and I would really like to shed the light on those good priests that are really out there, really working for their communities, doing a lot, you know, bringing that faith in. It's not always hitting the books, and it's not always teaching religion. It is truly how you treat people, what you do to for your community of your people and your faith. You just really have to kind of pull it all in, and that's really their job. And so I want to kind of highlight him as being that person that truly cares about the people in his area, in his community, no matter where he goes, because he does get moved. And to just have that with him always. So I hope that I display him well, and I will continue to display him well. Of course, we will probably see the end of him at some point in the future, but I'm not prepared to have that happen just yet with him.
So in writing one of these books, are you coming up with a scenario that could theoretically happen in one of these fictitious towns? And then you look at that scenario and how it would be reacted to by this priest?
Yes.
Oh, or does it go the other way? Or do you say, okay?
It's both. I have many priests that I can reflect upon that I say, wow, he really handled that really well. I don't know if I would have been as good of a person. He really must have that faith to say, okay, you know, even when they're being spat at, talked negatively about, someone approaches them in a not so positive light, and they just say, well, thanks for your opinion, you know, bless you, and they send them on their way. And you just think, how did you do that without a flinch? I mean, and sometimes I think they know it's coming, but for the most part, they just handle themselves well, some of them, I guess. I'll say most of them, because I'm sure they could get an argument, sadly, otherwise. But sometimes I look at a situation and I think, how would a priest handle it? And I refer to my cousin. I have a cousin who's just a little older than I am, and he's a bishop. So he's been a priest for a long time. And I can send him a text message and say, what do I do in this situation? What would you do in this situation? Asking for a friend. And then he's like, this,
what
okay,
you
this
do
is,
now?
Yeah. This is in a book, isn't it? Okay, well, let me just refer you here, or let me, you know, if it's a prayer, I'll here go to this website or do this, or this is how I would handle it. Or, you know, in the second one, there's an exorcism. Hey, what's in an exorcism kit? And he's like, you know, you can't do that by yourself, right? But here's what I take with me. So I'm genuine. I want it to be genuine. I don't want it to be some fake made up thing. I really want it to be something that they do.
So has he read your books?
I can't say for sure. He's out of state. I push it and I say, come on, I want you to read this and tell me how did I get, how mm-hmm. close did I get to the truth? But he's very positive about them. He's very much behind me all the way. He said, anything you can do to make some of these guys, the really good guys, show them, display them. That's what we need. So
how would you characterize these books? They're fiction. They're certainly not a romance.
No.
But they, you know, is it, you know, how do you describe your Broken Wings series books, Tammy? What kind of a setting do they fall underneath, would you say?
I would say Christian.
Okay.
Fiction. I mean, and not necessarily Catholic fiction, Christian. And a Christian is anyone who believes, of course, you know, in Jesus and his, the whole role of the church, whether it's Catholic or Lutheran or just any Christian church that believes, is going to understand this. I mean, he's a priest, not uncommon, and just kind of, I'm almost at a loss for words. Just in the general sense, I think Christian fiction sums it up. My third book does have a little bit of a romance in it. So I do pull some of other genres into just the life of these books. So,
but anyone who could read the words in the book, you wouldn't be afraid to let them pick up the book because they're going to find completely appropriate reading, regardless of who they are.
Yes. Young adults can read this. My daughter, who is a teenager, has read these books. Everything is appropriate. The second one I had edited, and there's a few things in there that I did not word. So there's a few things that might deem maybe on the borderline of that, but any of these can be read by young adults.
The book Peacock, beautiful cover.
Thank you. This one was not drawn. This one, all the rest of them have all been hand-drawn. This one was not hand-drawn. It's just literally a picture of a peacock in
it's
full
awesome.
Plumage. I don't own him, and I don't even, I own the picture now, but I didn't originally take the picture. I've tried taking pictures of peacocks. They don't look this good. This is a professional portrait, obviously, of a peacock that,
It's awesome. It really looks good. You had to be pleased with the way it turned out.
It's very beautiful. I'm very fond of peacocks. In fact, I have peacock feathers on my wall at home. I have this big plumage of peacock feathers. I love them. They catch the light. Everything's beautiful about it. And I thought when I was looking for, I came across accidentally Peacock Road in Ohio. It's some historical value of an original home or a road that had all these homes, and it measured, I don't know how many towns. I would imagine like an old fashioned highway. And then of course, when other towns built up, and people own property, they took the road elsewhere. So then the road is now just a side road. But there's this historical value to it.
Peacock Road.
Peacock Road. I'm not kidding.
Does it appear in the book?
It actually, that's what the name of the book is named after.
Oh, is it really?
Okay. I did, but I moved the whole road. I mean, I don't really have that option. But I can tell you about the community that I named, the very first community that I've ever named in a book, is St. Charles, Minnesota. St. Charles, Minnesota, I stopped into, and I found that to be one of the most valuable small towns that I have ever been in for less than an hour. I'm not kidding. I stopped on the way. We were coming back from Sioux City, Iowa we were coming through to La Crosse, mm-hmm. and then we were going to drop through Richland Center and Sauk and some of the other areas where my family resides. And we stopped off the interstate, nothing more than a gas, get out, stretch your legs, break. And I don't know if it was just we were in the right mood. Everybody was in the right mood. There wasn't a single person that didn't smile and say hi. Stopped at this gas station. And here's the story that will lead. This is kind of a neat story. Right next door to this gas station is a library. And I had just published Broken Wing Sparrow. Brand new author self. And I remembered I had a free sample of a business card that was sent to me in the mail, like, oh, here, now that you have a business, order through us. I picked up the sample, took it out of the envelope because I had grabbed mail on the way, and stopped in over to the library and introduced myself as author Mary Buford for the very first time. And they had no idea who I was, which was okay because I said, no, I have a book. And they looked at me like, uh-huh. And she was sweet. She was an older person. Very interested in where we were living, where we were coming from, how we were passing through St. Charles, because it's not a city, really. It's a small town. Just off the interstate, stop for gas, kind of high wave on your way out, and introduce myself. So for some reason, when I started writing Broken Wing Peacock, I said to my husband, we really need to go back to St. Charles, Minnesota. I said, I don't know what it was about that town, but something made me feel very welcome. And when I was in the library, I felt like I was this best-selling author with one little tiny book, I said there was just something about that. You cannot walk away from that feeling. There's some towns and cities that you're in and it's so-so, and or you're in a town, you're like, wow, I really don't like this city so much. But that town, there was something about that town. So we did not get a chance to go there this summer, but we have plans to go next summer as they will be celebrating a centennial, and they have floats and parades and they have all kinds of things, and they want me to make an appearance then. And since then, the gas station has been torn down. I was pleased to be able to meet with a reporter. I was featured in the St. Charles, Minnesota.
Really?
St. Charles, newspaper. And I was also featured earlier again in the Sioux City Journal, of course. But she said, you don't understand. They just tore that gas station down. She said you had to be in the right place at the right time, and you were here. And she says, by the way, they're going to have an outdoor reading area. They're putting in benches. I suggest that you could have the spot right where this story was birthed from. And I said, that would be great. So I need to sell a few more books to get that to happen, I suppose. So that's the real story, and that's the real town. And it's the first book that I've done that with, and I think I want to do that from now on. I mean, I can... You know, I can go back and maybe let people know that Locust was from the Richland Center area, and you would know, and you're kind of in that book, kind of sort of, but not. You know,
I hope I'm not the Locust.
You're not the. No, you work in radio. It totally suits you. You can envision it really hard. But that's kind of the little story, and that's how I decided. I said, you know, I don't want to hide these towns.
You were inspired,
anymore.
Weren't you?
I was very inspired. And I hope, and when I meet people, that's something that I discussed last year when I was at the Brewer Library. I want people to be inspired. Go write your story. Even if no one reads it, but at a time when you're no longer here, leave that fingerprint on those that knew you. It's important. It really is. End your story well and on a high note. And that's kind of where I'm at with the whole writing thing. So,
sounds good. Author Mary Buford is our guest on the morning show. Many of you will remember her as Tammy Kilby, former member of our staff here at WRCO Radio, who has turned her attention in recent years to writing. She will be featured in an author reception tonight beginning at 6 o'clock. It will be free of charge at the Spring Green Community Library, located at 230 East Monroe Street in Spring Green. Lasts about an hour, so again, 6 o'clock tonight. And Mary Buford, you'll be able to pick up the books. In fact, you'll have all four of them with you.
I do have all four, all yes.
We'll take a break and be back to visit more in just a moment on today's morning show from WRCO-FM. Thanks for joining us on the morning show today on WRCO Radio. Author Mary Buford is our guest today. She is the author of the Broken Wing series. Her most recent book is Peacock, Broken Wing Locust. Prior to that, we've talked about the Broken Wing Sparrow, and I think we knew that Broken Wing Dragon was in the works, but the two newest books will be talked about. In fact, I guess maybe any book you wanted to tonight at your author's reception, but are you going to focus primarily tonight at the Spring Green Community Library at 6 on Peacock? Is that going to be your key focus?
It will be my key focus because it's my latest book.
Newest book, sure.
And I'm going to do a little bit of a read from that book. There won't be time for me to read from all four, but Peacock will be the one that I read from. But I will have all four. I'm willing to take questions, answer anything that people want to know about any of the four books, of course. So I look forward to doing that and talking about all four of them. They're still vivid and they're still in my mind, obviously. So,
did you self-publish?
I self-published everything. And I had been wanting, when I first published my first book, I wanted to go with a publisher. And of course, being new, they don't just take you right off from your word. And I thought, well, I wanted to have a publisher because, you know, they do signing bonus of this is how much they're going to. But what people don't understand is if you do a signing bonus of, say, $5,000 with a publisher, that you don't make any more money until they get their $5,000 back. That's in the fine print that you don't really notice. And as I started to write further, I thought, you know, self-publishing really is the way to go. You have more control over what you say, because I could find a publisher that doesn't want religious fiction and the series is done, you know, kind of dead in the water, then I don't want that. I want to have some control over what my cover looks like, how everything looks, how it sounds, just the feel for it. And a publisher can take that away from someone.
Sure. Do you hire a proofreader then?
I have. I have hired a proofreader. I think as I look back on them, the first one was edited, but it was not edited. It was paid for editing and there really wasn't much editing done. The second one was probably my most expensive editor to date. There was a rewrite, which I was not in control of and nor did I approve of before it was published. I didn't have that. And I didn't want to go that route again because of that reason.
You learned.
I've learned. I want it to look and feel exactly the way I have. Now, when I was kind of looking through and doing some scanning, there's an editing, there's online editing, there's programs that do it. I, of course, you know, have a high schooler, which who is very much in tune with how things are supposed to be. And I had one paragraph that I could not get around. And I said, read this and tell me what's wrong. And so, well, if this sentence comes out, this makes more sense. So, you know, you have other people that can do it. And anybody who is interested in editing or has done it a lot and has a lot of knowledge in writing, by all means, you know, connect with me. I'm open to hearing from other editors. Of course, granted, I have the overall say. That really is important to me. Cover everything. I want everything to be as I want it to be. I know how it feels in the story, and I want the cover to kind of reflect that. So,
well, you're going to be reading from Peacock tonight. People will get a chance to hear that, discuss, and be able to share. Will you be talking about where you're going next with your writing career?
I am. In fact, I've been discussing book number 5 for a little while now, kind of just in my immediate family, kind of behind closed doors, so to speak. I had an idea for a story, and a bunch of people kind of came at me with the same name and said, oh, you could do this. I think you should do this. And then the story has a lot of different avenues in which I could take it. So I've decided to kind of table that for now. And something came to me automatically. I had one of these kind of an epiphany moments where all of a sudden I went, hey, I have a story. Just literally fell. I think it fell out of the sky, but it really didn't. There's characters from people in my past. And you know, as we get older, how we reflect upon people that we knew. We reflect upon maybe just incidences, things, moments in time. And I think that you look at those and maybe the golden years aren't necessarily where we are now. Maybe the golden years are knowing how good we had it pretty much our whole life. So I plan on going forth and continuing, yes.
Sounds good. You can be a part of the author reception tonight. Again, it begins at 6 o'clock at the Spring Green Community Library, and we'll feature our guest today, author Mary Buford. You think about your books. And when you write them, is there a sense of satisfaction that you've not found anywhere else in life that is the result of finishing one of these books?
Yes. I mean, these are by all means like children to me. I don't know if that's how every author feels. But from start to finish, you get to know the characters so well that you almost need to remind yourself to tell the reader about them, because you just get this person in your mind, and then you need to describe them. You need to describe how they feel, what they're thinking. Everyone has flaws. Every character has to have some sort of flaw. And just, I think when just in writing, you just have that satisfaction of saying, I completed this story. I completed this character's moment in time that I can write about, I can reflect upon. And of course, as I had mentioned earlier, with this priest coming into people's lives, I want people to read it and wonder, okay, now I know he's in here somewhere. Where is he? Because you don't get that at all with the last two. He is not immediate in the story. He is a small character part that plays a big role. And all of a sudden, it's like this moment and, oh, there he is, and this is why he's in the story. He was at the right place at the right time. So every book is an accomplishment to me, whether I'm receiving any notoriety or not. Of course, I enjoy having that completed task of telling the story, and it feels good to finish it and to move on to another story.
So if somebody says, well, I never read Broken Ring Sparrow and I didn't read Broken Ring Dragon, do you need to enjoy and appreciate Broken Wing Peacock and Broken Wing Locust?
You don't. These books have one common character, but the storylines are nothing the same. I purposely look at what can I do differently? How can I do this differently? I don't want them to be the same. You're not in the same town in any of these stories. You don't have the same main characters in any of these stories. I have, you know, characters here, characters there. You know, these characters are in different places and different times. The time frame is similar because I have to be within the lifetime of this one priest. And I don't know how long my series is going to go. I want at least 6 books. I've talked about 6 for no reason, just that number. I want 6 stories. So I have 4. I'm writing 5. I know I have another one already lined up. I don't know how long I'm going to go. But he does, with his travel, he's only at certain places sure. at times. So he's within the time frame is the same, similar. It's one after another, time-wise. He's aging. He's getting older. He was young. Then he was kind of young and really popular. And, of course, he's starting to age. And he's not old by any means. But, you know, as some of us wake up, you realize you are getting older. And it's a realization. So you kind of start getting the hint that he's starting to age now. And he's realizing that. So they're not the same, except for the time frame is all near similar.
You will have the books with you tonight at the Spring Green Community Library. Otherwise, where are the Mary Buford books available, Tammy?
They are all available at marybuford.com.
Marybuford.com.
Marybuford.com. And when you log on, there's a nice little note from myself. You see my picture. You have all the books located. You can look at all the publications. You can look at both this visit and my last visit at WRCO. I have newspaper articles and things, but you have all the books right there on the main page. And right up top, you can click on the Amazon page. You go right to my Amazon author page. It has everything about me, what I'm doing, and has all the books. You can order them either in paperback or most of them. You can order from like ebooks, mm-hmm. Kindles, and things such as that.
So you can read it on your e-reader if you want to.
You can take it right with you when you're on vacation and wherever you're going. You can take it with and just keep reading. So
that's awesome. You know, do people give you feedback?
I do have feedback. I have positive feedback overall. I've had feedback with the first one with the not. I guess not having as much writing experience and knowledge as I wished. Obviously, you don't come out.
You got to start somewhere.
And that's the common. But I've had a lot of good feedback that helped write the second. And then I've had a lot from the first two that helped me really kind of gain that writing strength. And just the description kind of going through everything. So, yeah.
So would you like to say to people, oh, maybe if Broken Wing Sparrow didn't trip your trigger, give me a chance with Broken Ring Peacock, because I'm a different writer today than what I was when I finished that first book. And it looks to me like that Peacock is your longest book to date.
It is. I was looking at that today too, and I kind of look at them when they're stacked mm-hmm. up, and I think it really is the thickest book that I have. I mean, you really go into some detail. You will learn a lot about the characters, and they're a young couple. They're a young couple who pick up and they go elsewhere. They find Peacock Road based upon driving down a road, coming across road construction, because that happens in the Midwest this time of year. And they inadvertently get off on the wrong road, and they think it's a road, and they drive down this road only to find that it's almost a dead end. So
is that when they find St. Charles?
They don't find St. Charles just yet. They don't find St. Charles for a little while. But they're outside of St. Charles. They're just south of St. Charles in the story. So they get onto this road, and they come across this house that's abandoned, but the lights are still on. And they're thinking, we need a fresh start. And here's this place in front of us. So they kind of go inside, and chapter 2 really gets into, you're walking through the house with them. You're finding this, and they find a journal. They're finding who lived here. Who does live here? Does somebody live here? And they're realizing, oh, it doesn't look like anybody's living here. And she's expecting, and she's going to give birth soon. And they need a resting stop because they've literally drove all day and just a few stops along the way. So they look at this like, well, we're going to get out and stretch our legs and let's just find this place. And had no idea. They were curious more than anything else. And the curiosity, of course, gets them walking through this house. And they're like, the lights are still on. And they open the refrigerator, and of course, there's nothing good to find in there anymore, but the lights are still on. It's still working. So then they start thinking, I wonder if we could just live here. They really need that break. So, and they're young. I mean, they're 20s. They're young, young. So, of course, any of us in our 20s that would feel free to just hop in the car and go move somewhere, you know, it's that fresh start. And I think we can all say at some point in our life, there's a point in which that fresh start takes place, even if you just move across town.
Sounds good.
So,
author Mary Buford has been our guest on The Morning Show. You can find her books at marybuford.com. You can find her tonight at an author's reception beginning at 6 o'clock at the Spring Green Community Library, located at 230 East Monroe Street in Spring Green. Books will be available there as well. Good to see you. Congratulations on the work you've done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Kat Perkins will be the next in the Concert on the Diamond series. Phil visited with Kat yesterday. That's coming up next on today's program.